May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 339. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, reading chapter 4. Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus, the 4th chapter. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill, or as the margin says, fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. May the Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy and sacred word. May he now help us in prayer. O thou most holy and almighty God, Lord, what are we that thou shouldst be mindful of us? For we are but sinful creatures of this earth. We are but dust, and to dust we shall return. And Lord, in our flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Lord, what solemn creatures we are, and yet we are ignorant of it, unless thy Spirit teaches us. Lord, it is not the words of man that can teach us the truth concerning ourselves. It is the work alone of thy Spirit to quicken us, to make us alive to the truth as it is in Jesus. O Lord, do draw us, make us, teach us to be those guilty sinners that seek thy mercy at the footstool of mercy, object of our first desire, Jesus crucified for me. O Lord, as we gather ourselves together here this night, Lord, there is no other plea that we would bear before thee in our prayer, as we begin with thee in prayer. Lord, thou knowest how we have come this night, and thou knowest those with the burden of sin upon their heart, upon their conscience. And Lord, thou knowest those who have no such burden. Lord, thou seest us here tonight exactly as we are. Oh, do unite us through the power and influence of thy Spirit, that we are but guilty wretches in thy most holy sight. And cause that knowledge, Lord, to make us cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, who hear that prayer from each heart that is poured out before thee now. Oh, Lord, do not send such a humbled soul untouched away. But speak, Lord, through thy holy word of truth to all that have need of thee. Lord, there may be those who have heard thy voice, that voice of mercy, but oh, many days have passed since then. Many changes they have seen, and oh, the iniquity, the sin, the falling in the times of temptation that have come and witnessed of the sinfulness of one's own evil heart still. O Lord, do hear those many cries, those constant cries for thy mercy, those ventures to the throne of grace, pleading the precious name and sin-atoning blood of Jesus. Lord, that's how we come now. And may we find, Lord, power in that word of truth. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Lord, may that give a hope to many a needy sinner, even this night. O Lord, that hope that thou doth impart, Lord, does not fade. Lord, it never becomes a despair. It never becomes destruction. But Lord, that hope which is begun through that gift of faith, through the teaching of the Holy Ghost and the witness of that shed blood. Oh, have we not sung, Lord, this night, that it is forever? Did Jesus once upon me shine, then Jesus is forever mine. Oh, Lord, what a sacred truth that is. And Lord, we come this night because of thy faithfulness, because it is an everlasting love that thou doth bestow upon needy sinners, and nothing can separate that sinner from thy love. So, Lord, do humble us before thee this night, and grant us that true spirit of worship. For we have no other place to go in hope of eternal life. Help us, Lord, day by day, in all that comes upon us in our earthly life, our experiences, our duties, responsibilities. Oh, Lord, may it be that we see thy good hand in it all. Even in times of tribulations, times of sicknesses, times of troubles, times, Lord, when things, matters seem to be so much against us, when there are those great disappointments, things that cast us down. Oh, Lord, may we know that through faith, that our times are yet in thy hand. and thou canst yet even work together things for good to them that love thee, who are the called according to thy purpose. O Lord, who sanctify times of troubles and tribulations and all that might rise against us, sanctify them, Lord, to the profit of our souls, for holy use, that even through those we may grow in grace and the knowledge of thy love. Lord, to establish us more firmly on the rock, Christ Jesus, knowing that we are thine and thou art ours. Lord, do hear the prayers of each one this night. Lord, remember those unable to be here, who would be here if they could. Oh Lord, remember those who are perhaps away on holiday at this time. Oh, watch over them and keep them in thy loving, tender care. Lord, do keep them safe from every danger. Preserve them, Lord, upon the roads. O Lord, we've solemnly heard of that terrible disaster at Shoreham. Those on the road suddenly taken from time into eternity. Lord, we know not the state of those souls. But oh, how solemn, Lord, that one day such a change will come to us. Lord, may we be ready. But Lord, we pray for thy loving, tender care to watch over us. And we pray, Lord, and bear before thee those who've lost loved ones through that disaster. Lord, even appear unto those that perhaps have never thought upon thy name. And be to them the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercy. Lord, we pray for others who may be sick at this time. Those who are detained by duty. Those that are watching and caring for the little ones. Oh, Lord, we commend them all to thee. Lord, do own and bless them, we humbly pray. Bless the little children. Be with them as they grow. Oh, Lord, may their faculties develop fully. Not only just to gain earthly wisdom and the knowledge of those things which are for their earthly good, but Lord, may those faculties be used to thine honour and glory. Draw them into the knowledge of the love of thy truth, desiring to know more of the things of Jesus. Confirm them, Lord, as the lambs of thy fold. Thine arms about them, thine hand upon them to bless them. And so do keep them safe in thy tender care. Lord, remember those in education, Lord, who have had particularly exams at this time, and there are those changing scenes before them. Oh, Lord, do lead them aright, guide them aright. May there be much thanksgiving, Lord, where there have been the successes. And, Lord, do give much prayers of dependence upon thee, where there's perhaps been the disappointments. Oh, Lord, thou canst yet open doors and make ways for the good of those who fear perhaps and many things are against them. Help them, Lord, to be much in prayer. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, where thou dost appear, and make ways where there seems to be no way. So, Lord, we commend to thee the young people in such circumstances. And, Lord, to be with those that go to university and college. Oh, Lord, do preserve them from all evil. Lord, do not let them fall into temptations which will face them in this evil day. And Lord, may they be given that spirit within to say, so did not I, because of the fear of God. Oh Lord, do help and strengthen them, and hear the many prayers put up by loving parents and families for those, Lord, when they are in further education. And those, Lord, who have to begin their occupations. Oh, we pray, Lord, they will provide for them. That jobs of work and careers will be given. Lord, that do not hinder the time of worship upon thy day. Oh, these are dreadful days, Lord, now, where thy day is solemnly despised and counted as no different to others. But, oh, we pray, Lord, for its preservation. Lord, that those that fear thee and seek to worship thee on that one day in seven, the day the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, triumphant over the grave, to give life eternal unto all those that are his. Lord, so may those that seek thee and to find thee, to know thee, be able, Lord, to worship thee upon thy day. Lord, be with each one in their business and occupations. Lord, do help them in these days of much fraud and deceit and ungodliness. Lord, hear their prayers as they commit their works unto thee. And Lord, do give much thanksgiving, oh, where thou doth help them, and give them those places of work where they can still honour thy name in all things and at all times. Oh Lord, may thy blessings abound upon those that call upon thee for thy help. Lord, be with each family, be with parents bringing up their children. Oh Lord, in these difficult days, do give them all needed wisdom, patience, perseverance. And Lord, do answer their many prayers. Lord, may there be fruit to those labours where they teach their children from thy holy word. Lord, so may they be examples, witnesses of thy holy truth in this ungodly world. And Lord, do bless thy people here, gathered together, Lord, now and on all other occasions, assembling together in thy name. Lord, ever be present here. May thy spirit, Lord, remain upon this place. Give the fear not. I am with thee. Bless the word of truth, Lord, as it is proclaimed, and hear and answer the many prayers that are put up to thee. Oh, do grant, Lord, that sweetness and reverence and sacredness of thy true worship. Make this a true living vine. Lord, a vine that brings forth much fruit, rooted and grounded in thy love. Help, Lord, the deacons. We commend them to thee. Lord, in all their duties, responsibilities, they prayerfully undertake. O Lord, do grant them that help of thine, that oneness of spirit, and also each one of the church. Lord, may it be that desire, Lord, as we believe it is undertaken to achieve, to determine to know nothing amongst them, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And may that, Lord, be the desire of each of the congregation, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, be the author and finisher of their faith. Lord, so we lay these things before thee. Lord, we now pray thou wilt come and help us. Without thee we can do nothing. Our gathering, Lord, will be in vain. Oh, may the words of my lips and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Lord, do use the hymns that have been chosen. Lord, even use a word there or a line of those hymns to be applied in some power for the good of some soul. Lord, they are written by man, but Lord, thou canst use whatever the means to speak to a needy soul. So, Lord, do help us now. Hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, do forgive. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 391. Jesus, Friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn number 391.
in complete dependence
upon our Lord to help us, that he may speak through his own holy word unto each one of our souls. And ask your prayerful attention to my way of text, to the chapter we read, the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and in particular, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This third verse of the fourth chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. As I was driving home last Tuesday evening from here, this text, this verse, dropped into my mind. And it has not left me regarding this evening's service. Yet I feel so insufficient to be able to preach upon it. Last Tuesday evening, we considered at length the case of the psalmist who wrote that Psalm 119. And his witness was that I am a companion of all them that fear thee and that keep thy precepts. That word companion in the Hebrew, I believe I did mention it, is on the basis of being knit together, united, bonded. As many are being one piece. And that's the nature of this text, isn't it? Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The psalmist didn't come to be a companion of those that feared the Lord through his own work, through his own thoughts, through his own deeds. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And dear friends, it was the Lord who taught him. It was the Lord who brought him into that spot, into that place, where he learned the fear of God, that caused him to cry for mercy. No different to the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was no bringing of any lamb, or any goat, or any bullock under the law. No coming to a high priest of man under the law. But through the teaching of the Spirit, purely by faith imparted, their friends, they as guilty sinners came to plead for the mercy that can be found alone in God, through the gift of his Son. Now, dear friends, that's the only way of salvation, isn't it? And that's not just specific to that psalmist. Dear friends, it's specific to all the Lord's people, all those for whom Christ came
and suffered, bled and died. He said to his disciples, didn't he? And I will pray the Father that he send the Holy Spirit, and he shall teach of me. When the Lord Jesus spoke those words regarding the gift of the Holy Spirit, he said that if he did not go away, the Holy Spirit would not come unto them, because the Holy Spirit would teach of the truth concerning Christ. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Dear friends, if Christ had not gone away, if he had not gone separate from all those that were his disciples at that time, and borne the burden of sin alone on Calvary's cross, if he had not gone there as the guiltless for the guilty, the just for the unjust, bearing the sins of many, to pay the price for sin, to fulfill the law and satisfy divine justice for the guilty sinner. Dear friends, the Holy Ghost would have had nothing to witness, would he? There's only one way of salvation. Faith in the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ through Calvary's cross. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Oh, the glory. The glory that is imparted to those for whom Christ died. I go to prepare a place for you. Dear friends, what grace and glory we find, don't we, through the death, the solemn death and the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Holy Ghost would testify of his death and his resurrection, delivered for our sins, raised again for our justification, that we may live with him forever in glory. Dear friends, this is sacred teaching, isn't it? Blessed teaching. The only teaching that will bring you to a knowledge of true salvation. Oh, you children and young people, you've perhaps heard of many religions, and they're probably taught you at school the various faiths. And those religions, their hope of another life depends on what they do, doesn't it? How they serve their God. That's not the true faith, is it? Through the Son of God. Or we shall never be able to earn our eternal life. We are sinners, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, the holy word of God tells us. And if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Oh, how solemn we are in our nature, aren't we? That in our flesh dwells no good thing, dead in trespasses and in sins. But oh, through this quickening power, by the Holy Spirit, testifying to a sinner of Christ, that glorious salvation, his death, his resurrection. Dear friends, that which Simeon was shown when he looked upon that babe Jesus brought into the temple. He was led of the Spirit. And as he beheld this child, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Not just with his eyes, dear friends, but with the eye of faith within. He could now depart in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, what a change. What a blessedness. What a peace. Dear friends, that's what the Lord Jesus, the knowledge of his salvation brings, isn't it? To the guilty sinner's heart. That is a peace. Well, we read of that peace. I think it's in the prophecy of Isaiah. A glorious peace which is through Jesus Christ. We often call Isaiah, don't we, the gospel of Isaiah. And the work of righteousness, which is the work of Christ through Calvary. The blotting out of all transgressions. The putting away of his people's sins. His obedience. Complete obedience to the Father's will. He perfect, the Son, in my righteous servant, shall justify many. That glorious work of righteousness wrought out there on Calvary. The work of righteousness shall be peace. That's the forgiveness of sins, isn't it? And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Oh, what a blessed truth that is. The law says, do not covet. But grace says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Oh, dear friends, is this the longing desire of each of your hearts? To be found in Christ Jesus, and Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you who know something of this truth of Christ imparted in measure, it's your desire, isn't it, to be kept in the knowledge of this truth. Oh, sweet those moments rich in blessing, which before the cross are spent. To look again and again by faith upon the dear Redeemer in all your sin and all your iniquity. And to have some sweet sense that it was for you that he hung and suffered there. Dear friends, this is the peace of the Holy Scriptures. Jesus said he did not come to give peace upon this earth, that means in earthly things. No, in this world we shall have tribulation. And we do, don't we? We've been favoured in our nation from warfare for 70 years. But dear friends, we cannot say we have peace, do we? Oh, the threatenings. Oh, the troubles. Oh, the things which arise continuously. And so it is personal, isn't it, with us? Dear friends, this peace is not an outward peace, it's an inward peace. That peace of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The witness of the truth as it is in Jesus. Now this was the case of this church at Ephesus. A Gentile church. Their beginnings, you could say similarly like the psalmist, going astray. Well, Paul here reminds them, doesn't he, of what they once were. In time past, walking according to the course of this world. And dear friends, they would have enjoyed that as you and I do in the flesh. in our younger days, maybe in our older days also. Oh, how we love to be involved and follow the leisures, the pleasures, the business, the commerce, the riches of this life, the philosophies of man and so forth. And how many friends and colleagues we can make in the way. Ignorant of the broad way which leadeth unto destruction. Prince of the power of the air, ruling in us, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, we will not have this man to rule over us, among whom we all had our conversation in times past. Dear friends, we were born unregenerate. We were born without the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grew up, we knew nothing, did we, of ourselves, of the desire for Him. Or we may have gained a knowledge in our heads through the way we were brought up to attend the house of God. Yes, to listen to many sermons. Like that elderly lady who, going into a Christian home, had to give an account of what she knew and her leadings. And what she wrote down was that from a child, from a babe, she'd attended the house of God. She'd been to the Sunday school. As she'd said, recited scripture at the time of the anniversary services, and been to the prayer meeting. And the deacon said, "Have you got anything else to add?" And she said, "What else do you want?" And he realized throughout all her days, she'd never come into the true saving knowledge of the Son of God. She'd never come as a guilty sinner, humbly, to the throne of grace. She'd never been like that publican. She'd never been like that psalmist. Oh, how solemn, isn't it? To be left to our own selves. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. Oh, those next two words. But God. You know, dear friends, if it wasn't for the sovereignty of God, if it wasn't that He had these vessels of His mercy, there'd be no one of Adam's race in heaven, would there? You wouldn't be, I wouldn't be. Oh, the call by grace. To set the knowledge of His Son within us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. On what grounds did He love us? We were sinners. What grounds did He love Jacob? He was a sinner. Dear friends, there's no answer to that question in our finite minds and understanding. It's only contained there in the eternal being of God, who knoweth all things, yea, from before the beginning of the earth, even unto eternity. He knoweth them that are His, those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the earth. They shall come, and these Ephesians did come. Not all of Ephesus, not all that lived in Ephesus came, but those to whom the Lord gave the Holy Spirit, that as the Apostle Paul preached there, and others, whom the Lord sent to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, the gospel was not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, that even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, this empties ourselves of all merit, doesn't it? Empties ourselves of all worthiness. You know, the Apostle Paul then puts it a second way. He says, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. What a solemn state to be in. An ignorance, darkness that one does not care for that state. Oh, the light within you is darkness. You may think you're righteous because of your outward dealings, and yet you're one of the greatest wretches, still of Satan, ruled by the heave spirit of evil that worketh in the children of disobedience. Without hope, without God in the world, but, another but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Dear friends, can you testify of that? You know, it's the only way you will have hope of heaven above. Give me Christ or else I die. Oh, how our prayers. Dear friends, we only pray when led by the Spirit, don't we? To help our infirmities. But if this is your prayer, dear friends, then you thank God for it. A Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal the things of God. Oh, make to me salvation known. Witness with the blood. No man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord unless thou take the veil away and breathe the living word. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, oh, the effect this had upon this church at Ephesus. We read of them, don't we, in the Acts of the Apostles. Many of them have believed, came, as many have believed, came, and confessed, and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. All the effect upon those Gentile sinners. All that they trusted in, all that they believed in, now it was counted but dung, that they might win Christ and be counted as one of his. Their desire to serve him and to love him who had first loved them. That's the new birth, isn't it? Jesus said, ye must be born again. Oh, may the Lord come, and through his gracious holy word, through the preaching of the gospel, for you, through your reading of his holy word, as you pray, Lord, come and appear to the profit of my soul, to the blessing of my soul, to the life of my soul. May he hear and answer your cries and bestow the love of God in your heart through the Holy Ghost, who testifies of the dear Redeemer. Oh, dear friends, that's what all guilty sinners need, isn't it? Now our text is Paul's epistle to them from when he was in prison. He says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, this is written to those for whom Christ died and his love has been revealed. Friends, endeavour. Is it not going to be easy then to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Dear friends, we still have those evil hearts within us, don't we? Paul speaks here in this chapter concerning those that still walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. And dear friends, what a temptation. What an enticement they can be if they gain access into the church as deceivers. The Apostle Paul said it would happen when he was returning from his third missionary journey. He didn't call at Ephesus as he returned, but he called for them to come out to him. He called for the elders of the Ephesians. And he spoke to them. Well, I can just drop upon it as I've just turned to that chapter before. He said how that many would come and enter into the church and be deceivers. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Oh, dear friends, we're not here to judge. But we look at this in dismay, don't we? Quite often at the professing church of Christ at large and the error that has entered in. You know, dear friends, and it's very, perhaps to you young people as well, perhaps more attractive to you in the flesh. All the things that take place, those things which are to bring in people to the church on the attraction of worldly things and entertainments and the doctrine that Christ died for all and we only have to give our hearts to the Lord and we shall be saved. Oh, I was brought up under a doctrine like that in my very early days. But dear friends, I never came to be able to do that, though I tried. It was only when the Lord began his work into this sinner soul that there became a change of heart, a renewing of my will, and a turning of my feet to Zion's hill. That's where Christ is to be found and crucified and dead and buried and rose again. And there was all my hope revealed by the Holy Ghost. Oh, this is to be the sum and substance of our worship, isn't it? How we need to take heed, to endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit. Dear friends, the unity of the Spirit is to hold fast to that which the Spirit has shown us and taught us. That our only hope is in Christ Jesus. And he ever to be our glory, ever looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. He ever to be the glory in our midst, determined to know nothing amongst us save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Dear friends, this will unify sinners, won't it? This, the unity of sinners, that love of Christ and their love to him who has first loved them, and therefore that love flowing one to another. Dear friends, here we have a description. Here we have the exhortation to the true church of Christ. To walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, to walk in love. Having begun in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Honouring Christ in all we say and all we do. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Dear friends, that's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Of which we read of in Galatians. That joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that mercy and meekness and so forth. It's not for our merit to enter into heaven. It's the gracious effect, it's the witness of the Spirit of Christ given to such unworthy sinners as we. It's the witness that we have a possession far more than all the possessions of this earth. I think it's in Timothy, isn't it? Paul left Timothy to be the first bishop of Ephesus, didn't he? And at the very end of that first epistle to Timothy, he speaks, charge them that are rich in this world. There's nothing evil in riches, in the possession of them, but there is in the love of the riches. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who teacheth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, thanking God for all that we possess, and to be mindful one of another in their need. The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Dear friends, they're being satisfied with one thing, that ruling of Christ through the Spirit within the heart, and to do all to his honour and glory. The things of this earth strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Endeavouring. Dear friends, how we fail, don't we? There's a striving. But there in the whole, in the heart, there's that desire, isn't there, to serve the Lord as we should. To honour him, to be true witnesses of the hope that is within us. Therefore there's this endeavouring, this striving, this willingness to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That Spirit that is in within us by our earthly nature, dear friends, it's called the old man, isn't it? And how that old man works within us, our old nature, and in every matter can so easily carry us away. We sometimes sing a hymn, lose sight of Jesus and his cross, and soon we fall a prey. Our lust and pride by power or craft will carry us away. Oh, how we have to fight against that earthly nature, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, endeavouring to ever consider him in all things that endured the cross, he who despised the shame, bearing the contradiction of sinners against himself, that you, guilty sinner, might live. Oh, he that knew the hiding of his Father's face. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That you, guilty sinner, for whom Christ died, might never be forsaken. The Lord will never forsake his people. Oh, dear friends, this is the spirit we need to be kept in, isn't it? Our dependence upon that sacred love, that dying love, that redeeming love, revealed in us by the Holy Ghost. And so to walk humbly, that's what's in our text, isn't it? Humility. To walk humbly with our God. That was through the prophecy Micah, wasn't it? He hath showed thee, O man, that which is good. What doth he require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Sealed. Oh, dear friends, we are lost, aren't we, now in wonder, love, and praise. That we, guilty sinners, can be sealed up to the glory of God through that gift of the Holy Spirit, the revealer of Christ, that day of redemption, when the purchased possession, the soul purchased by Christ, redeemed by that precious blood, shall be called up higher to live forever with the Lord. Oh, ever let us keep, dear friends, that end in view. The Lord spoke to his ancient people, didn't he? Oh, that they should consider their latter end. Dear friends, how often do we? You know, if we consider our latter end, what we deserve, and what we hope it shall be through Christ in us, dear friends, that will keep us, won't it, in a right frame. And as we all consider, dear friends, what we are by nature and what we've been made in hope through the shed blood of Christ, oh, then let us be in that unity of the Spirit, one with another, no one better than another. Each deserving eternal wrath and damnation, but saved by grace. Dear friends, that's the unity, isn't it, of the Lord's people. What Christ has done, not we ourselves. And there's the bond of peace. You know, dear friends, divisions will come. Strife will become amongst the people of God because we are earthly. In the churches, well, there's many divisions arise, sadly, doesn't there? Do those divisions arise because of the working of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? No. It's when our own spirit rises up in some self-esteem or some self-exaltation, seeking the authority and the power and the will over others who may be of a different thought. Or we read of Diotrephes in the third epistle of John, who is determined to have the preeminence. And he forbade many who could testify of Christ. Oh, dear friends, let us be wary of our own spirit, how we can rise up even in pride and self-righteousness. Even through the work of Christ within our own heart, dear friends, you know, we can lead us that way, and you that think you standeth, and me. Let us take heed lest we fall. Oh, this unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I believe James refers to it. James is quite practical, isn't he, in his epistle. In that fifth chapter, he speaks concerning our dealings one with another, and how this is when strife and divisions may arise, disagreement. This is his exhortation. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Dear friends, I believe there's the power of the Spirit. There's the unity of the Spirit. We are guilty sinners. We only have hope through Christ, that mercy of through that shed blood. And oh, as we would confess our faults before the hymn, confess our faults one before another, if we have grieved another. And not only that, to pray one for the other, that the Lord may have mercy upon us. The unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Dear friends, our desire, isn't it, in our churches to have what Haggai said, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. Endeavour to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Lord, come. Ever rule in my heart. Let thy good spirit rule my heart. Govern all my words and ways, that grace may abound. That's what we need, isn't it? The abounding of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, in everything we say, in everything we do, in the church, in our family life, in our business life, in our school life, wherever it may be. That thy grace may abound in every part, and teach our tongue to sing thy praise. Then, dear friends, our glory will be only of God, for what he hath done for our poor, never dying souls. These exhortations, dear friends, we find them in the epistles, don't we? We mustn't neglect them. Oh yes, the foundation of the epistles is the grace of God and that mercy through Jesus Christ. And to the sinner saved by grace, these exhortations, that we may walk in the witness of it. Just one thing in closing as he comes to me, Peter, another of the Lord's dear apostles. He speaks, doesn't he, of the effect of the Spirit upon those whom Christ hath loved, as they walk in love, as Christ hath loved them. Give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge, temperance. That's self-control, isn't it? Patience, to patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unfruitful. Because we're endeavouring to walk in that Spirit. That Spirit to rule our heart, subject to his will, desiring all to his honour and glory. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Forgotten. Oh, dear friends, that's our earthly nature, isn't it, to forget? Now, often we do forget. The God and the Lord Jesus Christ is not in all our thoughts. We do lose sight of Jesus. There's many things to carry us away. Oh, like a whirlwind. The things of our daily lives can so easily carry us away through our own earthly spirit. Oh, how we need to continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Lord, let thy spirit rule within. Wherefore, but he that lacketh these things is blind. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you, thus those who seek the work of the Spirit, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What an end. Come, thou blessed of my Father, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So, dear friends, let us take heed to the word of God, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that peace that passeth all understanding, through Jesus Christ, your Lord, your Saviour, your Redeemer, your friend, the friend of sinners, the everlasting God. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hart will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock at our special services on Monday. Let us close with hymn number 748. In darkness born, I went astray and wandered from the gospel way. And since the Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. Hymn 748.
O Lord, do bless us each with thy word of truth. Lord, if thou hast called us by thy grace, then help us to walk as true witnesses of that grace. In all we say, in all we do, ruled within by thy Spirit, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, be in all things that concern us, and may our end be everlasting peace. May we be the true companions of all those that fear thee, and keep thy precepts. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us now and even forevermore. Amen.